Mary and Joe, we saw the baby. But today I want to talk a little bit about somebody else who was there. Luke tells us the story of Christmas from an earthly perspective. And we know that story so very well. But the book of Revelation, we read a Christmas story from a heavenly perspective. And I want to delve into that for just a second today and see where God takes us. In other words, when we read about Christmas, we read about it in Revelation, what's going on in the heavenly realms. And I want to read a passage in Revelation. It's 12, chapter 12, 1 through 6, says this. A great sign appeared in the heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant. She cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. And then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. And his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child at the moment he was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child who was ruled the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of 1,260 days. A rather odd departure. And I want to say to you before we get too far into this today is this. This passage has a couple fulfillments. It has a fulfillment, I believe, the night that Jesus was born. And I believe it also has a fulfillment in the end times. We notice in this version, we're introduced for the very first time. I knew there'd be some kids in here, and some of you might do this, but I also think the adults in here might get something out of this too today. We're introduced to some characters that we're not normally introduced to in the manger scene. We're introduced to a dragon, a big red dragon. Revelation 12 says that there was a woman who was pregnant. She's giving birth to a baby, and the dragon was desperate to keep the baby from being born. And the question really is, why? Why? Why is the dragon so desperate to keep the baby from being born? And this is what I want to focus on today with you. The answer is, that baby was a dragon slayer. That baby was a slayer of dragons. That baby came to bring light into darkness. That baby came to defeat death. And so the dragon was desperate to stop that from happening. And you need to understand that today. And I know this kind of ruins the story of Christmas, that cute little story that we just saw, that beautiful, that story where the angels are there and you bring in this big red dragon in a manger. And so today, at the end, I'm going to put the dragon in the manger scene because I want you to understand the significance of what I'm talking about here today. It feels kind of out of place, and I wish it was, but I understand it like this, that the big red dragon has always been a part of the story of the manger. We don't often bring it in very much. In the middle of all of our traditions, in the middle of you decking the halls, in the middle of you cooking the meals, in the middle of you putting up your tree and your lights and going to all the festive stuff that you go to, you've got to stop and recognize for a moment that there's an enemy. And that Jesus was born to destroy evil and darkness. The last 4 weeks we've been talking about using the verse in John 10:10. The last part of that verse, it says this. He says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it to its full. That's why Jesus came, to give us a full life. We talked about our faith. We talked about love, Bob did. We talked about hope. He came to give us all those things. And so the Bible warns us that not only did he come to give us a full life, he came that we would have it to an end, to the full. But the first part of John 10 says this, and we cannot schmooze over it. We cannot glaze over the first part of John 10 because it says this: the thief comes to kill, destroy, maim, distract us, to steal your joy, to steal your faith, to steal your hope, to steal anything that is that might semblance something of a good God nature. And so the Bible warns us that we have an enemy, and this enemy is a deceiver. And this enemy loves to tell lies, and his native tongue is lying. He's always lying. And the temptation really is this: he's promising things to you that he can't deliver. And we're buying into it. He's telling you you're missing out. He's convincing you to be selfish, to make your life about pleasure. And the enemy is described in the scripture as a great distractor. And that's what I want to focus in on for just a second today. He's always trying to distract you. Look over here. Get involved in this. Get involved in this political deal. Go down this rabbit hole. Start thinking about this all the time. Obsess about this. And so a lot of us, we have obsessions, but they have nothing to do with Jesus. We're obsessed with everything else but Jesus. And I think he's done his job. In this game that we're playing, the internet surfing, social media scrolling, YouTubing, TikToking, binge watching, right swiping, career chasing, bar hopping, rule keeping, political obsession, and all these things under heaven, they're not wrong necessarily. But when they consume us, we don't stop and think about what really matters. And we come to this time of year where Connie puts up a nice little manger, and we think about that little baby, and it just kind of goes away. In this constant state of distraction that this bozo has got us in, where all we do is look over here and look over here and look over here, we take our eyes off the prize. The good news of the Christmas story is this, church. We have a dragon slayer, and he didn't stay in that manger. He didn't stay in that manger. He came to rescue. He came to slice and dice and take away all the things that distract you and dissuade you and disappoint you and discourage you and get you depressed. And if you read in Revelation 12, it's the clear theme of the account that John brings us. It's a story of the end times. It is. It has to. It has to, because if you go on, and I want you to watch this, I put several scriptures here to finish that chapter out, but I don't want to obsess about it, but I want to bring it to your attention. He says this in Revelation 12:7, the war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels, the big bad Michael and his angels, they fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he wasn't strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Sound familiar? A lot going on there. But what really matters? What really matters about that is that the dragon was defeated. He was kicked out of heaven. And the woman, he fails to stop the woman and the baby from being born. He fails to defeat Michael and his angels. And the victory is won. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Some of his last words were, "It is finished." It is finished, church. It's a cry of victory. I've won the battle. I've won the war. You don't have to worry. It's a cry of victory. So we know that the dragon lost. We know that he's not a gracious loser, though. He knows he's been defeated. And he knows he's furious, and he's hanging around, and he's distracting, and he's deceiving. That's the message I want to show you today. Because if he can get his eyes, can get your eyes off of Jesus, he's done it. He doesn't have to poke you. He doesn't have to sit around with his little pitchfork. He doesn't need to do any of that stuff. He doesn't need to do nothing but distract you from your life, from your mission, from what God created you to be. Revelation 12:12, he is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. He knows his time is short. He is defeated, and now what little time he has left, he is hell-bent on taking as many of you as he can with him. There's another message that you need to know today. He's going to be doing that until Jesus comes back that second time and says, enough. Enough, bozo. Enough. He's going to come back. And he's going to make everything new. And all this minutia that we're going through will be gone. Revelation 17 says this, and the dragon was angry, and the woman declared war at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children. Do you understand that? Do you really know that what I'm speaking of today? That he declared war against you, against me, from the heavenly realms. And it should change how that we live. Because if he declared war against us, you know who else was at the, and I'm sorry, I'm a low-budget prop guy. But it's us. It's the Ken and Barbies. It's us. We are in the manger scene. We're in the manger scene. He declared war against you. Do you understand that? He declared war against you, not Ken and Barbie, but against you. That's who he declared war against. And so you today need to be reminded, not that there's a beautiful little baby, a cute little swaddling clothed baby, but you need to be thinking about the manger scene, that there's this guy and there's these people, you. You were there. He is after you, and we're going to put them in our manger today here in just a moment. It's very clear to us that the dragon is defeated and that Jesus has won and that things have changed for us, that they don't have to be the same that they were. It changes how we live. It should mean that we live with more intentionality this year. You should not say, what am I going to do this next year? You should have some intention to everything you do. Yes, you better read the Bible. Yes, you better pray more. Yes, you better give. Yes, you better serve. Yes, you better, and you insert it. Because there's people that this guy is trying to drag down with him. And for you to not care about that, and for you to not focus on that, and for you to do the same things you just did in 2025, in 2026, that's wrong. It's wrong. We've got to realize, and I think I put this in our notes, we're not living on a playground, church. We're living on a battleground. We're in a battle. And the battle is with this guy. It's not against flesh and blood. It is not your spouse that's the problem. Your spouse may not be doing what you thought your spouse was supposed to be doing. But the battle is not with your spouse. It is not with your kids. The battle is against this guy. And so it's not, Christmas is just not a celebration. Listen, listen, listen. It's not a celebration. It's not just a celebration. It's a waiting. It's a waiting. We're waiting for his soon return. And knowing how the story ends, the story changes how we live right now, today. No longer can you treat your life like a playground. It becomes a battleground where there's something fierce that is trying to claw and deceive you and distract you and eventually kill you. But yet you're just walking around with your thumb up your nose going, I'll just live my life the same way I did yesterday. I'll walk out of that place today just like I came in it. Something has got to change. Something has got to change. Because we know what happens. We know that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back soon. And so amidst all of your traditions, I challenge you today to stop for a moment on this Christmas and consider that everything hangs in the balance. Jeff, you're being really serious for Christmas. Yes, because this is serious. Everything hangs in the balance. Everything in your life is meant to be lived to show somebody else who Jesus is. Is your life accomplishing that? Smacks my face. Every breath you take is meant to be with eternity in mind, forever in mind, because Jesus came and Jesus is coming again. That's the message of the manger. He didn't just come the first time. He is coming again. I want to ask the band to come. And I'm going to go and I'm going to place our new people in our manger scene. When Jesus comes again, it's going to be different than when he came the first time. When Jesus came the first time, listen, he came in weakness. What other thing could be weaker than a baby that needs constant care? But when he comes again, listen, church, when he comes again, he's going to come in strength and in power. So we're going to sing and we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But we also want to declare that he's our king. Is he your king? Or is he just a side hustle for you that you hope that he comes through when you die? When you close your eyes, you hope that he takes you to heaven. Do you see how that makes life a little bit different today? Do you feel it in your heart? Do you feel it in your spirit that Christmas changes everything? As we look at the manger, be reminded that all that Christmas entails. Be reminded of the characters. It is those characters, but it's this character and it's these characters too. Let me pray, and then I'm going to place them in the thing as in the manger as the group sings for us today. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We don't understand it all. We know that there's, as we read this passage today, that there's a lot of confusing things. But we understand one thing, that there's an enemy, and he hates us. We understand that this enemy doesn't want us to look at Jesus, doesn't want us to follow Jesus. He just wants us to be confused and to sit around just thinking about everything else. And he's put all these things, these systems in place, these diversions. And God, we have bought into them. So as we come to this time of Christmas, let us recommit our lives to you. Let us make our lives about you and not about us. Let us let you truly be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope.